Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for temptations of yummy things, but knowing that God is there always. Last week was the baptism of Jesus. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and the voice of God was heard saying, "This is my beloved." All right. We might have to do this a couple of more weeks, but you are my beloved. Now, beloved, is it a kind of a warm, fuzzy word? You're lovey and kind of like Valentine's Day coming up with chocolate and hugs and kisses and roses. When God said to Jesus, "This is my beloved," God was letting the whole world know, "This is my son. I love him." We turn the page in the Bible from Matthew chapter 3 to chapter 4, and it says Jesus was led into the wilderness by the devil. He fasted how many days? 40 days. How many nights? 40 nights. See, I was thinking if you could fast for 40 days, that would be okay because then you could eat in the evening time. But that's not what happened. 40 days, 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. This is a very stark contrast between the warm, fuzzy love of last week's reading and now this week's reading where Jesus is in the wilderness. I have not been to the wilderness there in Israel, but I've seen pictures. There's rocks and rocks. And more rocks. It is barren. It is dry. It is desert. It is a wilderness. I think I have three learnings. The first one, learning number one, just because God loves you, it doesn't mean that your life will be a bowl of cherries or that you'll live in that rose garden. God loves you. And there will be ups and downs in your life. Tough times and good times, struggles, walking in the wilderness and walking in the garden. Just like last week, Jesus did not have to be baptized, but Jesus was baptized so that he could relate to everyone. So too this week, Jesus didn't have to go into the, didn't have to go into the wilderness, but maybe he did. But, just as Sarah was saying, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted so that Jesus could relate to you and me and our temptations. He went into the wilderness to experience the pain, the suffering, the loneliness, the despair that we feel every now and then. Jesus knows. Matthew often throughout his gospel talks about the Jewish people, the Jewish traditions. In other words, he talks about the Old Testament a lot. What Old Testament story takes place in the wilderness and has the number 40 involved in it? Who wandered 40 years? Moses led the Hebrew people out of Egypt. They were in bondage. They made some poor choices early on, so God said, guess what? You're going to wander for 40 years in this wilderness, in this desert place. Jesus is a continuation of Israel's wandering in the wilderness. Both Israel and Jesus lived in the wilderness. Both were tempted, but both were guided by God. Jesus teaches us to trust God. Jesus was tempted by the devil, three temptations. The first one was the temptation of food. Remember, 40 days, 40 nights, no food. I might make it 4 hours without the food, but 4 days, forget that. 40 days, no. Satan said, take all of these stones that you see in this wilderness, turn them into bread and eat. And Jesus said, the bread I want is God's bread, the bread of heaven. That is what I will eat. So learning number two, the Bible is a good resource to have during good times and during those tough times. Read your Bible. Let the Bible become the bread of life for you when you are in those wilderness times. Now, it's kind of interesting. In the second temptation, the devil uses Scripture himself, uses a Bible passage to tempt Jesus. He takes Jesus to the highest pinnacle of the temple, and he says, throw yourself off. You know you're God's son. God will send his angels, and they will catch you so that you will not dash your foot against any stone. The devil was quoting, hey, Frank, do you remember what psalm that was? 91. The devil was quoting Psalm 91. Jesus quotes scripture again. Do not put your Lord to the test. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is one of the places where we read that one. And as Sarah was describing that third temptation, Satan takes Jesus to the highest mount, shows him all of the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And Satan says to Jesus, all you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of these kingdoms, all of their wealth, their power, their splendor. Now, this begs the question for me, does the devil have control and authority over all the kingdoms of the world? There are days when it seems like Satan is truly the one in charge with all the evil stuff, the bad things happening here and around the world, but that is not the case. God is in charge. God has always been in charge. God has always and will be having the authority in heaven and on earth. Learning number three, and this one you got to jump a little bit with me. The devil tempted Jesus with the whole world. If we turn to the last chapter of Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 4, but if you jump to Matthew 28, at the very end, you read what we call the Great Commission. Jesus says, before he says go, he says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. God, Jesus have the authority. And then Jesus says to us, go, baptize, teach. And then there's a promise at the end, I am with you always. The one who is in control, the one who is in power, says, I am with you always. Period. I want to share one last wilderness story. When I was in college, I was a part of an outreach team that would go into congregations on weekends, and we would spend time with youth on the weekends, and we would lead the Sunday morning worship. And often the message of the team was told in song. I couldn't play the guitar back then, still can't play it, but also through skits. One of the skits we did was called the Pit Skit. Anybody know the Pit Skit? Jamie, do you know the Pit Skit? No? Sarah? Oh, I was thinking we ought to do this. Okay, so picture this. A guy's walking down the road, and he falls into this imaginary hole. You don't need to use your imagination to figure out who the person was that fell in the hole. I was skinny, and I was gay. So I was the one that would fall in the hole. So I'm sitting there looking up, wondering, how am I going to get out of this hole? I tried jumping out. Too high. I tried climbing out, but the walls are too slippery. I would call for help. It was kind of sad and pathetic. Help! 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 The first person that would come along was a Buddhist. And he would say that I was in the pit. Because I was in the pit, it was just in my mind. It was the state of my mind. I needed to meditate. Get my meditation pose here. And repeat the word, Om. And I would be lifted, transcended out of this pit. So I'd go, Om, Om. But I'd look, I'm still in the pit. The next person to walk along was a Hindu. He told me I was in the pit to purify myself, to make me a better person, and I would have to accept my lot at being in the pit. So there I was, still in the bottom of the pit. A third person came, offered a piece of rope, said, hey, I have a rope, I'll give you this rope. And I think, oh, with the rope I can climb out, out. This person throws me the entire length of the rope. Does not tie it off, does not hang onto it. I have a wonderful piece of rope, but it does me no good. I am still in the pit. Jesus came along. He heard my cry and he stopped. Seeing my predicament, Jesus would take me by the hand and lift me out of the pit, out of the wilderness that I was in. That's the end of the skit. But then usually somebody, often the person that played Jesus, would give a little testimony. He would talk about, you know, we are often in the wilderness. We often find ourselves in the pit. There are temptations around us, and it might seem like we can never, ever get out of the pit or out of the wilderness. But God says differently. God says he and Jesus are with us today, tomorrow, forever, no matter what. Amen. Our next